All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight, and in particular, we can talk about an outright championship for the Indiana basketball Hoosiers of Tom Crean, 14-3 currently in the Big Ten standings and two games ahead of three other teams, Michigan State, Maryland, Wisconsin. Chance to finish 15-3 with a game against Maryland on Sunday in Assembly Hall on senior night. But the second outright championship for Indiana in the last 4 years, and I believe Glass was back in 93, was the last time they even sniffed that outright championship, tying in 2002. In particular. But great stuff last night from the Hoosiers, who won at Iowa. Obviously, their toughest finish, or their toughest games were in their finish here at Iowa and then at home to Maryland. But despite letting go of a 14-point lead over a 10-minute span in the second half and letting Iowa back into the game, taking a lead, they shut the door down the last 4.5 minutes and get the victory in Iowa. And Glass, looking at this last night, there's a lot you can talk about for these Hoosiers. You could talk about Yogi, certainly, and his play as a senior point guard.
Yes.
And you could talk about the freshmen, how great they played, including Thomas Bryant, but also the three youngsters and the walk-on, Harrison Nego, who gave you great minutes.
Yes.
You can talk about so much tonight, and we will. But I think one thing that when we look back to Maui and we look back to Duke, two words that never would have entered into fans' lexicons about this team were going to be toughness and poise. And yet here they are on the road in a game. They've given up a big lead. And what do they do the last 4 minutes? They show both of them and come away with a big, huge victory to win it outright.
They do. And there was many factors that went into this game. There's no doubt about it. But the one I continuously have point to when Indiana is at their better. I don't know if the best is the word yet. I don't know if we've seen a complete 40 minutes, and that's something to shoot for. That's not something to say, geez, if we could only do it like we did it back. Well, they haven't had to worry about that yet. Everything is going forward for this team, but the key to this team is consistently scoring the basketball. When teams are down 14 points, like you mentioned, and that team that plays 4.5 of their starters 31 minutes or more a game, that is a tough road to hoe. It's a tough hill to climb, and things really have to go well. And remember, in that comeback streak, it wasn't Utah, it wasn't Gazelle, it wasn't Jock, it was a walk-on freshman knocking down threes in the corner that got him back into that game. Well, that's been Iowa's problem, and Iowa's problem was exacerbated by the way Indiana played. The Hoosiers knocked down 8 of 11 threes in the first half, Dave. What more do you want? 47 points? Those are things right there. Foul trouble or not, we'll get into that and not worry about that a lot. But they had foul problems, but they still score the basketball. Mm-hmm. That's the key to this team. It's not 26-20. That's Illinois. They stink. This is Iowa. This is senior night. This is four seniors and a junior.
That's a good offense.
And a good offense who has struggled late in games. So what did Indiana do? They did Indiana stuff. They came out in the second half, score what? The first 7, 8, 10 points to half. They popped that lead right out. The place goes completely dead quiet. Mm-hmm. Why? Indiana is scoring, and Iowa can't keep up. Hawkeyes did make a run back at them. You knew they wouldn't quit. They did that here at Assembly Hall. How many Indiana was up, what, here? 16, 18? It was a big number.
That was really super early, yes.
It was, but it was still a large number.
And then by halftime, it was much slower.
So you knew it was coming back. You just didn't know how far it was.
Especially on their place at home on senior night with such a veteran team.
But the layers of the way they played defensively, offensively, they didn't shoot it very well in the second half. They didn't shoot it very well from the line. There wasn't a lot of great things there. But when you have that lead because you play well for that time period, you should get a little bit of a break. You have guys in foul problems. You're late in the year. You can knock out all these angles. Why? But you're not the team that has to come from behind and chase it.
Right.
That's
the reason you
hugely
want to get
important.
The lead.
Yeah. Exactly. When you saw the loss at Penn State, what was the biggest lead? 4.
Yeah.
They never put Penn State in that, oh, geez, what are we going to do?
Panic
well, they
mode.
Did
sure.
that to Iowa.
Sure.
Iowa had to figure out they had to change defenses. They had to grind on
substitutions. Mm-hmm. Fran had to guesstimate how long this guy could handle it. Then do I go back to this guy? Do I get out of zone? They made Iowa uncomfortable all game long after, of course, they went down 12-9 or whatever it was, or 15-10. Yeah. They got that little early rut like they always do. They got it into gear. And when you hit 8 of 11 threes in the first, they hit 6 in a row at one point.
I don't remember how many in a row. 8-11 is incredible.
It is
especially
incredible
on the road.
And you know that's not going to continue in the second half. That's the first thing Fran told him at halftime. But what Indiana did is he went and got a bunch of twos.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's legal. You can do that. So if you adjust one way, Indiana finds another way to beat you, whether it's Bielefeld hitting threes, Morgan hitting threes, Hartman hitting threes, you name it. They just scatter guys out, and if they only hit one, it doesn't matter. They get five guys to hit one, that's 15.
Yep.
That's it. That's the math, and I'm not good at math. The only math I know is Indiana's got a two-game lead with one to play.
And that's
they're Big
all
Ten
matters.
Champions, and they did it at Iowa, a team who has been struggling. Now it's 5 of 6 they've lost.
Yeah.
This Iowa team could not score in the final 4 minutes at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
They led 62-56 and lost whatever to 64. They got a 75-74 lead in this game and only scored 4 more points than the rest of it. Indiana does enough. They make enough big plays. But I tell you what, 10 of 20 from the foul line. Yogi Ferrell missing 2 foul shots late.
Yep.
Wide open 3 at the buzzer. There are some things Indiana has to work on, Dave, but they can work on them tomorrow because they're a Big Ten solo, alone, by themselves champions tonight. And you take your hat off because it was a good performance against the team. Iowa had to win that game to remain in the fight for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Piece of it, they fought, they just don't have enough weapons. They don't have enough coaching, and they don't have enough bench. 3 things where Indiana was better at on the night, completely across the board.
333-2665 is the phone number. Plenty of contributions, as we mentioned. We'll start with the senior point guard, Yogi Ferrell.
Awesome.
20 points,
just
5 assists. He did have 5 turnovers, but he led his ball control. Again, without Robert Johnson, there has been so many other players, especially Robert Johnson.
Give his eyes lost credit.
That they
He's
put,
great.
Absolutely. But they put the ball in these, in Yogi's hands more so than they usually do. They did have Troy Williams with the ball some. But you're exactly right. This is 32 and 34 minutes in back-to-back nights for Nick Zeislof. So some big contributions from him. He's defending about as well as you could expect him to defend.
He had a 4 dribble jump shot he knocked down.
Four
dribbles.
Yeah.
Into the lane, pull up, boom, sank it.
Yeah, and 11 points in this game. I mean, and efficient, 4 of 5. Since he got in there, 3 of 4 on threes, he has not been jacking up 11 shots. Sometimes when he comes off the bench, you see him take the first 4 shots he sees. And he has not been doing that when he's been out there. He's been much more patient about the offense. He's been much more about
making sure
he fits a role, because he's fitting into a Robert Johnson role as best he can.
He's
not going to shut anybody down, but he's doing his best
why?
At it.
You know why? Because he's a senior, and he gets it.
When coach says,
you're no longer the guy that comes off the bench that needs to
create instant
offense. That's not your role anymore.
Yeah.
And whereas sometimes a freshman, you have to explain, okay, we don't need you trying to go coast-to-coast dribbling through 6 guys. You don't need to do that. Just when you have a senior player, that's an advantage. And you thought that's why Iowa started the year so well. They had all these guys playing.
Yeah, they played a lot of that second half, first half, without Mike Cassell. That hurt Iowa.
Which was
certainly.
And here's the difference. Here's the absolute difference in this game. I have the timing sheet in front of me, but when I talk, I can't do 2 things at once. When did Farrell get a second foul?
Had to be 6 or 8 minutes left. Yeah.
Stayed in half.
Yeah,
stayed in the game.
He did.
You know why?
Until the last minute.
Because
and a half.
His coach trusts him not to do anything stupid.
And he made good decisions.
Fran
also
panics and pulls out his senior point guard because he has to handle Indiana senior point guard.
Yeah.
He can't guard Yogi with 2 fouls. He can't do it.
No, he can't.
Huge advantage
there. Yogi will
put
that pressure on him.
And again, you either let him go or you get your 3rd foul, then you've got problems in the second half. So
and Yogi
again,
had about 3 chances in that time frame to get his 3rd foul.
He did.
And
he tried
backed
to post
off,
him off.
Did the best he could to try to play defense.
Unlike.
Resulted in a missed layup that he didn't foul on.
Unlike Hartman.
Yes.
Unlike
that's
Williams.
Correct.
Unlike Bryant.
That's correct.
The leadership maybe not as vocal as everybody would like to a degree, but what'd you see? When it came time to make plays or avoid plays,
he led
from the front. 19 shots, I don't care about. It's a winning effort. Those shots aren't bad. They didn't all go in. Big deal.
Sometimes you're going to need more shots out of him in a tight game. It wasn't his most efficient night, but that doesn't matter.
Nope,
it was one of his better ones anyways.
And again,
and let's remember, he played defense awfully well on the other end,
against
too.
Jock, he kills Jock. Jock's easy to guard because, you know why? If he doesn't get his first move, he's done.
They run him off a lot of stuff,
they do.
Though. He had to run all night long and handle the point.
Yes, and when he catches the ball,
he's not
Jock, if his first move isn't there, he's done.
Yeah.
And that's, you know what? You don't let him get the first move. So a good defensive game plan. You saw that at Bloomington. They did the same thing here.
Yeah.
We talked about that before the game. We said, don't be surprised if Yogi's on Jock. He handles bigger guys better. And Jock's usual deal is somebody his own height and weight, he's quicker than. Yeah. He's not quicker than Yogi. He can stop and pull up over
right.
Yogi.
He's faster, but he's not quicker and he's not stronger.
Can't get the ball. And you know what the other thing about that is, too? And I'm sorry I'm rambling here, but I'm excited, and it was such a good performance. What happens when big guys play small guys, they immediately want to go in the post.
Yeah.
That's not Jock's. That's not where Jock eats.
No.
Jock eats on the perimeter getting 17, 18 3-pointers.
And Yogi's as strong as you're going to get at whatever height he is.
But
too.
If you catch
he's
the ball in there and you don't get your first move, then you're out, mm-hmm. and Yogi's
you're
done
out
his
ideas.
Job.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, that's not where Jock is comfortable to beat you. They recognize that on film. They recognize it here at the Assembly Hall. They went out and did it to him. He was getting 20 in his last four games,
yeah.
average.
Yeah.
And what did he end up with? I don't even know. I don't even care what he ended up with.
11?
Yeah, 8.
8, sorry.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
3
7,
of
8.
11.
And he missed 8 shots.
Yep.
And why? He had a 5'9" guy guarding him. That's
yeah.
what happened. Because you know what? Guys in the post, you see it all the time. When the 6'7" guy guards him, they don't like it. They yeah. like fighting a fair fight against guys they're used
to. They
want
to know where those hands are going to be
and again,
not underneath you.
Iowa, unbelievable things from Iowa. Before we hit it, just to think about, and we'll come back and talk about it. Have you ever seen a team with so many guys 6'7" or bigger miss layups?
Yeah.
In your lifetime? They did it here.
Yep.
They did it against Ohio State. They did it on their home court.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't make anything. And to fall asleep at the wheel like they did, offensive rebounds late, Indiana killed them on effort. And a great job for the Hoosiers. That's why great team or good team? They're a great team today because they are solo champions beating that team.
They went on the road and got it done. We'll talk more about it when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Join the Bleeding Heartland Roller Derby on March 5th at Cardiac Arena on Curry Pike. It's a charity doubleheader against the Thunderbirds. For more information and the full schedule, bleedingheartlandrollerderby.com.
Long URL.
Don't mess with them.
No,
they get all their schedule, all the ticketing information. You can find it in one swoop. Fun for the whole family.
Yes. Quick programming note, we have sectional high school basketball this weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Plural.
South and North play on Friday night.
What a Tuesday night, huh?
6 o'clock for the semifinals of the East Central sectional, rather. And then on Saturday, the winner of that game will play in the championship game. 7:30 is the tip-off there. Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock in that game. So, again, 5:30 Chalk Talk on Friday, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk on Saturday. We'll have it both ways. We're not sure, of course, who's going to be in it Saturday yet. You would put your money on South right now, but
yes,
they do have to play North on Friday night first.
Got to play the games, and stranger things happen with a three-point shot and no shot clock in high school basketball, all kinds
of
things.
Of course, there's a little bit of a rivalry there.
Absolutely, and good job, Edgewood. They win last night as well. They'll be in the Brown County sectional semis as well, 7:30 on Friday night, so the red and black. And they've had their most wins, Dave, in what? It's been some time, 2008 or 9, I think Joe told me this morning, 17 of them. So good stuff there for Dave Meheran. So a great local night of basketball last night.
Yep.
Everybody that needed to win won. And tournament time is it makes you itch a little bit, but it's fun to get out there and do it. And it's also fun to call yourself, what's the word I'm looking for? A solo champion?
Champion?
No, outright. That's the one. I don't like outright. I want something better than that. I want something more.
Grand?
No.
All by your lonesome?
Yeah. Solo doesn't
81-78, the Hoosiers win in Iowa City as the Hawkeye swoon continues, but the Hoosiers have won 5 of 6 themselves with their lone loss at Michigan State. But Glass, it was down the stretch. They got up 14. They let the lead slip away and went down a pair. But down the last 4.5 minutes, they made all the plays they needed to. Missed a couple also.
Yeah.
But they made what they needed to.
That last 4 minutes
was
rough.
And ended up with the win.
That last 4 minutes was tough. That was two teams really feeling
it. You mentioned 10 of 20 on free throws. They were 7 of 16 in the second half. And that's not the way Indiana has shot it this year.
No, it hasn't.
But again, enough. It was enough.
And Bryant gets a rebound, an offensive one there that killed it. That's when you knew Iowa was dead on their feet.
Yep.
And
double-double for Thomas, 12 and 10.
Again, great stuff, and hampered by fouls again. I told you before they went to Illinois, I didn't think missing Johnson would be a huge deal. I thought the offense would be okay because I think Zeisloff's a better shooter, and I don't think anybody's going to argue with me on that. And he's more dangerous in those situations.
Right.
And Zeisloff's not going to put the team offensively in a bad spot because he's not trying to get into spots he shouldn't.
Well,
he's not forcing the ball into spots he shouldn't.
You mentioned an important point for him in these games with twice as many minutes in his time again. It's been 32 and 34 the last two games, so he's averaging closer to maybe 18 or 20, I think. He has made much better decisions with when to take his shot. He has not been, as you said, instant offense off the bench. He's not been come in and heat check right away. He has been much more selective, and four or five shooting shows that. He did end up with four rebounds. Again, not a big guy, not a huge guy.
Or season best.
Yeah, but he did what Robert Johnson does in a lot of ways. He did that. He wasn't a ball handler for this team. There's one other thing I want to talk about, because on the defensive end is where everybody realizes you miss Robert Johnson right away. Of course, you have other shooters on this team. But one thing I noticed last night, I thought just simple footwork and positioning-wise, this might have been the best defensive game they played all year long. This is not a shutdown defense. They scored 78 points against the Hoosiers, so we can't talk about them being, you know, taking them completely out of their game. But one thing that impressed me more or most was Thomas Bryant coming off of screens. They run high ball screens all night long with Utoff and whoever else is running these things.
Jock, everybody,
you
runs.
Name it. But Thomas Bryant did a great job last night with his footwork by hedging those screens, making it harder on the dribbler and not giving them any kind of lane. I thought it was the best I've seen him do on that play, which he was horrible at when they were out in Maui. He was infinitely better at that.
Hey, and again, we think Bryant's getting better than he is, and he's a McDonald's All-American. He should.
Sure.
That's the other thing.
Sure.
At the end of the year, he should be better than he was in Maui. He should be better than he was against Duke.
It's clearly measurable and obvious.
It is, and that's the good news. The other thing you like about Zeisloff defensively, if he keeps guys in front of him, he's thicker than Johnson. He's a bigger guy. He's 6'5"-ish, and I don't know if Johnson's more 6'3". Leaner, meaner. But Zeisloff doesn't get pushed out of the lane very easy.
Yeah.
Zeisloff, he can get big. He can stand there and get in the way.
His quickness isn't anything to talk about.
And he's a senior, and that's the other. Well, again, when you're not quick, you got to be there.
You got to be somewhere.
You can't take chances on the perimeter. You can't jump into passing lanes. You can't try to bust guys off the dribble. Indiana's offense was, in my opinion, more settled that way because they didn't force as many opportunities. They took opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw when the dribble came back in that run,
right. That's
when things slowed down. It got a little tight. That's okay. Crowd was getting into the game. You found out a way. But when Zeisloff goes 4 or 5 from the field, how many points do you have? 14, 11,
11.
12? Yeah.
That's
minimum shots.
Yeah, that's great.
That's efficient. That's as good as it gets. And the ball continues to move, and you have to look at him. Johnson's more of a streaky guy. Johnson's going to step in and shoot threes.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to come off screens and shoot threes like Zeisloff. So
right. There's
a different component to the offense there, and for Zeisloff to double his minutes and keep production or even increase his production, that's a senior. That's what seniors have to do.
Yep.
And if you'd have told me on the 27th day of November that the keys to the season in the Big Ten would be the bench play of the troika
of three freshmen.
Well, no, because Bryant starts. Nigel's played enough minutes to that he's helped
look,
out.
Look, it's 7 minutes, but that, you know,
it was 7 minutes in that game.
He played the last four and a half of the first half, and that, you
sure.
know, it wasn't a huge difference, but it was a +2 and not a negative.
So you get a couple freshmen and a walk on kid. The other two freshmen are giving you bigger minutes.
Yes.
But if it's Max Bielfeld and Nick Zeisloff, the combo platter that is steadying the ship in these runs where Indiana's down on the road and the games are not playing well, these were the guys. We talked about that when that foul problem had hit over time. Those were the guys that are getting you back in the game.
Here's an important thing, because we look back at the last 2 years for Indiana basketball. 333-2665 is our phone number, by the way, if you want to call in. We look back at the last 2 years, and you think, man, there's a lot of things this team did wrong on and off the court. Some character issues that spilled over onto the floor. There's no question about that. A lot of those guys, most of those guys, are not here anymore. Keep in mind, with this team, you've got five brand-new players in this year alone contributing. And if you want to say Harrison Nego doesn't give you huge minutes, that's perfectly fair, but he gives you some key minutes here down the stretch. You're getting key contributions out of these guys and growing over the course of the season. The Thomas Bryant you knew was going to do that, but nobody knew what Morgan and Ananobi were going to give you this year. Nobody even knew who Harrison Nego was, and everybody thought Max Bielfeld wasn't wanted by Michigan. What was he going to do here? Those are five brand new guys to campus this summer on this team, and you got to look at their contribution down the stretch here as to why you're in this position.
Sure. And another reason you have to look at is why they're here, because the people last year didn't work. And last year the front court was Perea, Holt, Hartman, Troy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Max Bielfeld.
Davis was out all year.
They talked about this last night. Max Bielfeld made 11 three-pointers in his career at Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Not last year.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
He's got 26 this year.
Yeah.
Raise your hand.
No, exactly.
Now keep it up if you're lying.
Yeah, exactly.
But when when you look at that.
And then Zaislav was a grad transfer last year.
And he struggled, in my opinion, last year with the pace of the game in the league.
Yeah.
And after a year under his belt, figured it out, mm-hmm. figured out where he didn't have to be quick, where he had to be in place. Huge difference. Reading the game instead of I'm late reaching, I'm late to a spot, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Figured out when a shot's good, when a shot isn't good, especially later in the season. You know, there were a couple games you said, geez, what do you eat? 0 for 5, 1 for 5, 1 for 7. Again, in winning time, in times that are very important during the streak, look at his numbers, and they're pretty solid.
Yeah, absolutely.
And throwing him into a starting position, which he hadn't done since Illinois State.
And doubled his minutes, yeah, no question.
And his productivity went up.
Yeah.
So Bielefeld, Zaislav, the usual suspects we'll get to. We got plenty of time for them.
Absolutely.
But the guys that you said, hey, where are you? Mm-hmm. What's happening? What kind of bench are you going to get? What kind of performance are you going to get? They stood up and were counted. And now you're Big Ten champions. You have to have those pieces because the depth has been important.
Mm-hmm.
The seniorness has been important. Remember, Yogi is the movement. One man.
One left. That's it.
Junior class?
Exactly right.
Who's left?
Troy and Colin.
Troy and Colin. Yep. Is Colin a redshirt because he did his knee?
I'm trying to think.
Was he a movement class?
No, he was not part of the movement.
Yeah, he wasn't a movement
guy? I don't believe so.
Okay. But anyhow, we're not talking about Iowa with four seniors. We're not talking about.
Colin came in with Devin Davis, I believe.
Okay, I can't remember. Hartman did his knee. I don't know if they got him an extra year. I can't remember. Whatever it is, they don't have this upper class stuff to lean on.
No, they don't.
Because some of the people in that class decided some other things were more important than playing basketball at IU.
Yeah.
So that was all wiped out. Mm-hmm. You threw all these other guys in, and you really shouldn't have been surprised in the first 10 to 15 games of the year, especially against higher-level opponents, why it wasn't working.
You didn't have the bench. I mean, again, the freshmen weren't ready to contribute. They weren't. Max Bielefeld had
who's
to figure
the,
it out.
Who's in the sophomore class? Blackman's hurt.
Blackman
Johnson's
and Johnson.
Hurt.
That's it.
Well, that's an amazing story.
Yeah.
To have those guys all contribute through all that.
Last night,
to have five guys participate like
with
that.
7 minutes or more. And I throw Harrison Nego in there because, again, the last 4.5 minutes of the half are big.
And I mean,
because you don't lose a thing in the last 4.5 minutes, and he's in there.
Cheers to all you IU fans that saw this coming. And I didn't. But amen. I hope you got your lottery tickets and let me know what the numbers are going to be because all those things had to go right. James Blackman hadn't played in the Big Ten season.
Yeah.
Hadn't played.
Yeah.
Top
30 recruit.
Let me. I will leave this. This will be another thinking point when we go to the break.
Don't make me think.
Who turned their ankle last year, ruined the year? Robert Johnson.
Yeah.
Down the stretch. Yeah. Robert Johnson's ankle was the story about why this team wasn't firing on cylinders. He didn't play the last two games.
That's right.
He didn't play the last two games. And Indiana won on the road, both of them. How many road games did they win last year?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
I mean, so you guys that nailed this, amen. Good for you. I couldn't be happier for the Hoosiers. But to say this was coming, to say that you saw it on the horizon.
No chance.
There is no chance at all.
No chance.
And that's what makes it a little bit sweeter. Winning on the road, check. Outright champion. 6 road wins the most in the league. Check.
Yep.
Outright champs. Check. How about that?
Had it in front of them and went out and got it. We'll talk a little bit more about it because it's fun when we get back from a break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Almost knocked over the champagne there.
Yeah, look out. Again, quick programming notes. We have sectional basketball both nights, Friday and Saturday this weekend. North and South play in the semifinals on Friday. Chalk Talk at 5:30 and tip-off at 6 o'clock for that. And that is as scheduled as they are the first game of the night. So you can count on that. And then on Saturday, the winner of that game will play in the final of the sectional. And of course, you would put your money on South right now, but it is a rivalry game, and North has some talent on the team. And one of them will be playing Saturday night, and we'll have that for you also. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk and 7:30 tip-off Saturday
and
night.
And the earlier meeting between the two didn't last very long.
No, it didn't.
That was about 6 minutes, and the show was over. So that's always interesting with kids, not with young men and paid professionals. It's a little bit different, but the revenge factor could burn a little brighter in 8-minute quarters and not 73 TV timeouts the last 2 minutes of the IU game last night.
North's got some talent. I mean, they'll step up, and they played New Albany very well, but So it's not a not a done deal Friday, I don't think one of them will play Saturday.
And one of them is Scorn.
And we'll have them both for you here on WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosiers win 81-78 in Iowa.
They sure do.
Take the outright Big Ten championship. They have Maryland on the weekend. We might fit that in here in a little while. But back to this team and the other
night. How nice is it not to talk about the final game of the season?
Not to worry about it.
You don't have to care. Yeah. They could start Priller.
They could.
You don't need to play Robert Johnson.
They could start the Tharp kid.
You don't need to play Juwan Morgan.
You sure don't.
I understand you want to send your seniors out on a high note.
But you don't need to.
The fish has been fried, dog. We're getting the tartar sauce
out. Go ahead and taste it.
We're getting the tartar sauce and the coleslaw out. Let's not stick our hand in the grease and make things any more difficult. It's going to be difficult enough moving forward. Why? Well, it's tournament basketball. There are no more oopsies and do-overs. Exactly. You can't do that. So I would – and again – the day should be a day of celebration. Why? Because of what we saw last night. Not what's going on the court on Sunday, because that game doesn't matter. And how often can you say in major college basketball on March 6th, the game doesn't matter?
Even when they won it in 2013 or 2012.
12-13
that
season,
team. Right. They lost at home to Ohio State.
They did.
When they had clinched a share. Then they went up to Michigan and had to win it up there to get it outright.
Did
that. But again, there was no home, was no home party, so to speak. They cut down the nets, but there wasn't really a party that night because they didn't get it done that night.
But it's different when you already have the cow.
But here we are, two outright championships in 4 years. This team, we have to remember and think back to Maui and Duke, because those games showed you how fragile this team could be, and at the time was, and more importantly for this team, how far it has come, and the fact that at the end of the season, when everybody said, hey, look, folks, your early Big Ten season that's so easy is going to come home to roost in that last 3 weeks. Well, it came home to roost, and they lost, at Penn State and at Michigan State. They've won five of the last six, and they claim the outright championship with two games on the road in rather dramatic fashion to do so. They had it in front of them. They took it by the scruff and ended up grabbing
it. They did, and if there's matchup games you want Indiana to play, it's usually Iowa, Michigan. That fits into it, because those are teams that aren't going to bang you, force a lot of turnovers, get up in you, make you use shot clock. Iowa did a decent job last night mixing defenses to get back into the game. The boys on ESPN did a great job showing you how that was frustrating Indiana.
Right.
But the other thing you can't leave out of that is, and this is some of this is Indiana's doing, is when you got seven guys and foul problems, you have to be smarter in situations like that. You're not going to get the whistle on the road. Everybody knows that. Don't even point to the fouls. It doesn't matter. You're not going to win that battle at all.
No, they did a good job not letting that get into their head, because they could have.
You know why?
They had to deal with it, and they did.
Because they were ahead.
Yeah.
And they hit shots, and that's what Indiana basketball does. They get it, and they got after it. They had 11 rebounds from OG and Morgan. Fantastic total. Four from Zeislaw. There's 15 boards right there.
There's 38 minutes from OG and Juwan Morgan.
And they're big boys that needed to step up, stepped up. You got a big game from Williams. You got a big game from Bryant. Williams still does stuff to drive you crazy. That just happens. You just have to live with that.
On the offensive end, him with the ball in his hand and two shooters out on the wings, Dokic talking about that, it's hard to guard. I mean, it may drive you crazy, but it's hard to guard because he is so fast and so quick with the ball. He loses control sometimes, but it's hard to guard.
You have to take that good with that bad, and that's all part of it that comes with it. But again, you shoot 50% on the road. 50, what was the total on that?
50.8.
There you go.
Total.
That's 30-59 on the
road. Threes.
What more do you want? You can't do that. How about Iowa at home? What do they shoot at home? They're awful.
30-something.
39%.
39%.
You know why? Indiana got in the way, and all the fouls they had didn't kill them. When Iowa went to the foul line, they hit 18 of 27. Have you seen a team miss more free throws in the last month?
No,
you know why?
They've done a lot.
You know why they miss layups and they miss free throws?
Their legs are gone.
You know why Peter Jock's fading on a wide open three?
Yeah, they're awful.
They're dead. And you know why they're dead? Because Indiana ran them out of the gym.
Yes, they did.
And they had to catch up to them. Indiana, look at the numbers.
Late in the season. Indiana is still running, and they are still in great shape.
And they learned everything they needed to learn from Iowa at Indiana. The only reason Iowa was in that game, they didn't shoot it very well, I don't think, off the top of my head, in Bloomington. But they had 100 rebounds. A ton of rebounds.
Yeah, they were great on the boards.
They were, and they weren't this night. When the pressure was on them, why? Because they're dead. They got nothing left. And Indiana, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 guys, double-figure minutes? 8? And Nego had 7? 1,
yes, that's
2,
correct.
3? That's
correct.
When Iowa's got guys out there with four fouls running around for 35 minutes.
With 4.5 minutes left to go in the first half, because of foul trouble, you had Yogi Ferrell on the floor. You put in Harrison Nego and Juwan Morgan. They played the last 4.5 minutes. So you had a 6-point lead when they got in the game. OG came in, and the only other senior out there, the only other upperclassman, was Max Bielfeld. That was with 3.5 minutes. With 2.5, you put in Thomas Bryant, rather. At that time, you had four freshmen and Yogi Ferrell. And then with 1.5 minutes or a little bit more, you took out Yogi because of his fouls, and you put in Nick Zeisloft. You had Nick Zeisloft and your four freshmen closed out the last 2 minutes of the half, and you ended up +2 in that 4.5-minute stretch, now, playing almost all freshmen.
And I'm going to point out a huge play in that scene, why Iowa's going to finish the year 11-7 and tie for 7th in the league. That lineup you gave me, mm-hmm. Nick Zeisloft gets a wide-open three and knocks it down.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
No, you can't.
You have timeouts in your pocket. You have, again, upperclassmen playing for Iowa. And the scouting report says what? Make him put it on the floor.
Him, yes.
It's the simplest.
Stay on him.
He's a no-help guy.
And he's the only guy, he's the only real shooter out there.
He makes it an 8-point game with 14 seconds left because you took, you started dozing.
Yep.
Tired teams, beaten teams, do that. And guess what? That makes it 8-11. And the garbage tipping at the end of the half, good for them. It happens, big deal. You're up 6, and you have all the momentum in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd's grumbling. I'm not sure if they're booing. It sounded like a little bit of booing there.
They weren't happy.
4 seniors, 1 junior, senior night, booing the team off the floor. That's in their head. 3 fouls feel like 4.
Mm-hmm.
4-game losing streak or whatever. 3-game losing streak feels like a 10-game losing streak. Why? Because the guy doing his job, what's he do? Knocks down open shots, does Zeisloft. And again, you leave them open, you deserve to pay.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do it against Indiana, they're going to make you pay. But OG's getting, he's in there causing problems. Morgan's causing problems. The guys from Iowa had a hard time finishing. Go to the foul line, great, but they weren't getting a ton of 3-point plays.
Got 11 rebounds out of those two guys.
And 4 more from Zeisloft. We talked about that. That's 15 total. Yep. And then you throw, how many, 11 from the boys?
11 points? From OG and Juwan.
Points?
And 11 points and 11 rebounds.
And then throw in Zeisloft's 11 points.
Yep.
That's 22 and 15.
8 more out of Max.
And I guess, Zeisloft's a starter that night, and he plays 34 minutes.
Yeah.
What more do you want from that? You didn't need to rely on Yogi in the sense where he had to make it happen. The ball moves, guys knock down shots. The ball moved, guys got layups. The ball moved, guys got open shots. It wasn't Yogi 19 times going, man, they're giving it to me with 5 and the clock, catching it 24 feet.
Seconds.
Right, you heard Dockage talk about that. Don't let him catch it again. Don't let him catch it again.
Mm-hmm.
Late in the clock, make somebody else happen. Well, there was times in the first half, late in the clock was about 18 seconds because Indiana was moving it. They had great looks, and when you knock down shots, Dave, it's a lot easier to move the basketball. And the Hoosiers did it, and that's why they are league champions all by themselves. And, again, 14-3. The Hawkeyes, got them at the right time, didn't we? We'll take it.
It's amazing what happens in 2.5 months.
It does, and it's a grind.
Yeah.
And to see Indiana finish on the uptick after the last couple years, that's impressive.
And that is the point, is they are still upticking at this point, it would appear. We'll talk about that when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Sure.
Sunday at 4:30?
Got to do something, though. Hey, quick programming note again. Sectional basketball this weekend, Friday and Saturday night. Friday, it starts at 5:30 with Chalk Talk. 6 o'clock tip-off for North and South at East Central's sectional. And then the winner of that game plays in the championship game on Saturday night. And that tips off at 7:30. We'll have Chalk Talk at 7. So both nights, you will hear sectional basketball here on WGCL.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. And congratulations to Edgewood. They were winners as well. We can't be in two places at once, but they will take on Brown County Friday night. That's game 2 of the semifinals out there. Look for the tip time around 7:30 on that. 17 wins for the Mustangs. Impressive campaign. Hopefully they keep it going. And are in Brown County on Saturday night for a sectional championship as well.
And you've played the entire season. You had a lot of consternation early in the season. You lost your top scorer at the time. And you went into the Big Ten season a little discombobulated, and yet you come out the other end at this point as the outright Big Ten champion, 14-3 right now, a game against Maryland on Sunday. And the result is completely irrelevant from the standpoint, obviously, of the Big Ten championship and seeding and any of those sorts of things. Is it important at all to carry at least good, solid play, it's got to be, into the Big Ten tournament? Do you look at this result at all?
I've got Bill Polian on the phone. Let's ask him. It's halftime.
Drop three straight.
Halftime against the Buffalo Bills or the Jets or whoever that was.
Yank them.
Everybody out. Everybody out of the pool. Caddy swim is over.
Look, you're not going to play Robert Johnson. That would be
nope. And you're probably not going to play Juwan Morgan.
Juwan went down.
I wouldn't
late.
Think so. But again, it is a Tuesday, Sunday, so he does have 4 days to get back into the swing of things. But again, if it's bothering him a little bit and the result means absolutely nothing, if the doctors say he can play and it's not going to get any worse, then he can play. Yeah. It's just if he can handle the pain. You know how some of those are.
Right.
It's HIPAA. They don't tell us what's wrong with it. If it's a strain, if it's a tear, if it's something you can't fix now with only ibuprofen, you can go play.
Right.
If it's not going to get worse. But an ankle doesn't need to get stepped on. Doesn't need to. And I played enough basketball in my life, not at this level, but anytime your ankle hurts, feel every slight tweak, twist. Yeah. Somebody's going to step on your foot. You get out of the shower
and
funny.
You're not willing to cut it the same way.
You catch your toe on something. Yeah, right. And then guess what you do when you don't play like that? You get hurt another way because you're favoring it. You're doing something. So again, you don't need them. You didn't. If you're not going to play them in a must kind of win game at Iowa.
Both these road games, yeah.
You don't need to play him at home with the league clinch. So
Robert, Juwan, we don't
put
know,
your feet
but
up and enjoy
certainly
it.
Certainly would make sense to leave him on the bench.
And we know James Blackman Jr. is done for the year with a torn ACL. Yeah. That's nothing that anything can happen
but let's take all that then right now. We'll leave out Juwan Morgan. This just happened. We don't know quite what's going on there yet. But again, thinking
didn't
back to
like
the pre-conference schedule and how this team was not playing any defense. It was turning the ball over at record paces at the time. It was very streaky with its shooting. It still can be streaky with its shooting, but it's taken care. In large part, it's taken care of the turnovers. They're still there, but that's a product at least partially of their pace. They're making better decisions. Defensively, they are night and day on the defensive end. They are not a shutdown team, but they are night and day because they're making it harder on people. They've been hitting the boards all year long, and they're getting the leadership out of the senior point guard, and I don't know that we saw that at the beginning of the season either. So you can point to pretty much every spot on this roster as having improved since then.
The only spot that you look at on the roster and you say, well, geez, that was kind of right where we expected it, what you can maybe argue was Troy. Everybody was expecting this large Victor Oladipo-type leap. It's a great correlation. They're both really athletic players, but they're both different players. Because
you've seen flashes of it, but
you
nothing
have.
Consistent.
And that's fine. And then James Blackman Jr. goes out. So there was two things you could do. And I think this team would have went south last year because simply they didn't have any senior leadership that would have helped them.
The character on the team the last couple of years was not the same.
No, it wasn't. And you didn't have that to deal with last year. And when you had injury problems, Robert Johnson limping around, you didn't have the depth either, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He was a freshman, but he played enough minutes where you had to rely on him more than that. And there's two things to do when Blackman gets hurt. Suck it up.
Mm-hmm.
Seniors, puff your chest out and tell everybody else how it's going to be.
Right, let's do it.
Or get yours. And at that time, I was on the fence of how it was going to go.
No, it was absolutely right.
Because
we'd seen it for two straight years.
I didn't have any other proof.
No, we'd seen it that way.
Would lead you differently. Yeah. But what happened, in my opinion, was the point guard's play on both ends of the floor switched the paradigm.
We always knew he could play defense, but he was not applying himself in the early season, partially because a lot of other people weren't applying themselves.
And whenever everybody else caught up to that and figured out, and I've harped on this as well, and I'm not saying I'm right or I told you so. Once everybody figured out, and I use Bielfeld as the example of this, once you figured out what your role was on this team and you didn't cross the streams, boy, things got better.
Absolutely.
Some of these games when things got a little hairy, Bielfeld shooting a three in the corner against Wake Forest, air ball, probably not the best shot. Did he learn from it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in the end of the game, who's got the ball now? Yogi. And he's going to find you where you need to be. But Max also figured out that the coach doesn't get mad at me if I shoot. Mm-hmm. So my confidence puffs my chest out, and all of a sudden, I don't mind knocking down an open shot, and they got to come out and guard me.
And I don't need to take the first one
Huge difference.
It's going to come back eventually.
Nick Zeislav goes 1-for-8, and coach tells me I don't shoot enough.
Hey, this team has been – it is unselfish in
It was fragile last year.
It was very fragile.
And with three seniors.
Yes.
And Bielfeld playing in the league before this and jumping the level everybody thought Troy would make the jump on.
Yeah.
That – was unplanned on time, but it happened. And when it's a senior doing it, you can't go ask Iowa.
Yeah, you listen.
Ask Iowa why it works, and that's why they got better. But here's the other deal:
early in those games, you weren't getting anything from OG. You weren't getting anything from Juwan Morgan.
Morgan
Why?
Wasn't even getting on the floor. Yeah.
I don't know any better. We're talking about putting football players on the team and traveling with the team again because you weren't sure how your front court was going to be. Right?
Yeah.
So Morgan had that shoulder issue, slowly moving along. Thomas Bryant, foul issues, walking boot. You want to just go through all the stuff, the drama that followed him around. Right. Too hyper, not too hyper, yelling at the guys, not yelling at guys.
Played 6 minutes at Rutgers in the first Big Ten game.
And he's had one Big Ten game over 25 minutes?
Yeah, I don't know that, but it sounds right. It was 23 last night.
When he had whatever he had.
He still had foul issues.
Whenever he had against Illinois, 27 or 28, Joe Smith told me, first in six games, most in six games. So you're not getting 35 minutes there.
No, you're not.
To have all these role players accept and embrace their role, having a senior point guard play like a senior point guard, that's why this team can be interesting moving forward because you get two good nights in a row from Troy, you beat anybody in the country.
Yeah,
period,
absolutely.
End of sentence.
Absolutely.
Period, end of sentence.
No question.
And if you play like you did at Penn State when Yogi's 3-for-15 and you can't throw it in the ocean,
you could lose.
And you can get beat.
Sure.
It's a wonderful dichotomy that you don't want to have. You want to be the elite. You want to be the best. It's not always happening that way. The good news, they've shown you through 17 games. They have the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
They have the nuts. They have the guts. They have the guile.
Yeah.
They have shown you that. Their road record still gives me pause.
No,
and it's not their fault.
That's fine. I think they showed a lot to a lot of people in the last two games.
Did.
And yes, Illinois is struggling and
they're terrible.
Have their issues.
Let's be fair.
No question. But that's always been a tough trip for us. That's always been a rivalry.
You beat them the last 2 years.
Like,
you beat them last year and you were okay.
Understood. But down the stretch, everybody looks at that and says, these are your hardest games. And most fans thought, you know what, that's where they're going to trip up or could trip up.
Going to be their toughest game.
Instead, they look the best they've played all season long.
Yep.
I mean, you can point to Ohio. You can play to Ohio State.
Yep.
You can point to Illinois in Assembly Hall and the Northwestern game as far as shooting
talking
the ball and
road,
offense.
Though.
But down the stretch, overall games, the last two games, look as good as they could.
On the road, you're exactly right. When they played the best team in the league on the road, they got destroyed.
Yes, they did.
Period, end of sentence. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. That's what happened. They went to Illinois, who had lost 6 or 7.
Illinois is no good.
7 or 8.
Yep.
They went to Iowa, who had lost 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
Senior night's a little bit different element.
Yeah, that's
full
problems.
Credit for that. Full credit for that.
that's their problems.
That's their problems. And again, when you're the champion, you can point to that and say, hey, that isn't our problem. We're the champs. And they are. And they deserve it. What's next? Lots of stuff.
Yep.
Plenty of stuff. Maryland on Sunday, Dave. This team is playing too well to stop it playing.
Yeah.
Keep playing. If it's not your night, it's not your night. And don't risk life and limb to make a point.
And there's only one team in the Big Ten that you look at and say, that looks really bad for Indiana right now, and it's not Maryland.
No, it's
Maryland's
not.
Talented, but they're not playing that great themselves
if
either.
If the tournament committee is going to look at the four games without Denzel Valentine from Michigan State, if they're going to look at games here and there, they've got to look at this game and say, hey, they've got injury problems.
Yep.
So it's fair.
Got to
be fair. It's all we ask.
Music means we've got to head on out of here. Again, we got sectional basketball Friday and Saturday night. 5:30 Chalk Talk Friday, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk on Saturday. So tune in for all of that and join us again on Monday at 6 o'clock. We'll talk to you then. You've been in the zone.